Welcome to Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP, the podcast where we spill all the tea from discussing the latest trends in pop culture to delving into the depths of therapy. We're here to demystify it all. I'm Adrienne McCollum-Smith.
And I'm Pamela Tippett. Together, we're your hosts on this journey through the world of media, lifestyle, and therapy. Whether you're sipping sweet tea or seeking solace, we've got you covered. So grab your favorite beverage, settle in, and join us as we navigate the intersections of therapy and everyday life.
Subscribe, listen, and let's dive into the conversations that matter.
On this episode of Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP, let's dive right into this week's tea.
You've got Angel Reese, who has a reputation for the type of energy that she brings to the game. Like, she's got a lot of attitude. She gonna talk shit. You know, she just brings a whole energy to it. And really, I've enjoyed watching her. I feel like that energy, along with like some of her teammates, Flajay Johnson and some of the other girls, have really brought a lot of attention to women's basketball. And so yesterday while they were playing, so you've got Camila Cardoso, who is on South Carolina's team, and she and Angel Reese are probably about the same size. They play in the same position. They're guarding each other, and Angel Reese is pulling hair. She is intentionally fouling. Like, it was very nasty. And I'm a little disappointed in how she behaved on the court, how LSU as a team behaved on the court on the SEC championship stage. Well, what ended up happening later in the game is Flajay Johnson, number four on LSU's team, she kind of throws her arms around a bit and shoves another player or a player on South Carolina's team. And Camila Cardoso comes out of nowhere and pushes Flajay Johnson down. I mean, and it was a real shove. So Flajay's brother jumps on the court. Fans are on the court. It took them 20 minutes to review what happened, to make a decision about what to do. Cardoso ended up getting ejected along with multiple other players because the rule is if there's a fight, you can't leave the bench. And of course, everybody pretty much left the bench. So South Carolina ended up winning, but we do think we might see them match up again in the tournament coming up, which Cardoso has to sit out the first round of because of what she did. And so I'm really interested in how this is going to go. And I saw the press conference afterwards, and I still wasn't very pleased with Angel Reese or really Coach Mulkey's response about how they behaved as a team. She still just kind of had like this real stank attitude and energy that I just wasn't a fan of. But Flajay Johnson, on the other hand, Coach Staley said in her press conference that Flajay came up to her afterwards and apologized for her part in it and said, hey, you know, this is not the player that I want to be, or this is not who I am. And I was happy to hear that. And I'm also glad that Coach Staley shared that in the press conference because, like she said, nobody would have really known that Flajay did step up and apologize. And then I saw Camila's apology. I did not think it was genuine. I think it was a PR move. I think that she should have directly apologized to Flajay. And it was just a really basic and generic apology. I'm not here for it, but I am going to be tuned in to the rest of this season to see how it goes.
I'm not really a sports watcher, but I do sometimes watch highlights and things like that. I hear for you, like, some disappointment. Is it because of who was exhibiting this behavior and the expectations or hopes that you have about these particular people's behavior?
Yeah, because again, you know, This is the first time I've paid that much attention to women's basketball because of Angel Reese and Flaje Johnson and how they just been dominating the court for the last couple of seasons, right? And it's entertaining, you know, a little bit of that, you know, swag. I'm not gonna let nobody, you know, put me in a box kind of thing. I admire that. You know, I wish that I had a little bit more of that in me, but I also feel like, and maybe this is something that I need to challenge, but I feel like at that level, you're an elite athlete. And even at the college level, I think there's a level of professionalism. And by now, you should have gotten plenty of lessons on sportsmanship.
I agree, but I think too, I think the expectation that they should, because I know I get all my clients about the shoulds, like they should know about sportsmanship, which I'm sure that they do. But I think if they're triggered during a game, or they haven't done the work to manage some of these, you know, high pressure situations, which sometimes these folks have not. Honestly, I'm gonna sit here and say I'm not surprised by anything that you've said. I know of these people. I don't watch the games or on the court, but I see them through social media and on some platforms like that. And I know that they're elite athletes, but I also, what I start to do sometimes, people with Adrian, I just try to not have any expectations. And I know people like, oh no, you know, but really just trying to see where people are. And just by seeing some of these people, I don't know that I expect.
Here's the thing though. I might could even go. I mean, I get it, but I might could go with that if for one, they have not played these girls before. This ain't nothing new. You know the type of energy that it's going to be. And so, like, I get getting triggered, but they came into the first quarter with the shit, okay? And I feel like somebody, somewhere, some leadership on that team, I'm gonna say should have
I
stepped
don't
up.
disagree. I don't disagree. I believe that you're right. They should have. But we all know, I'm going to say it again about the should. Yes. And
Yeah.
I know. And you're right. You're definitely not wrong. But I feel like that's where we get let down and we get disappointed. And I think at the end of the day, they are basketball players, they're elite basketball players, but that doesn't translate into having necessarily good sportsmanship or good,
Good
necessarily the
attitude.
good attitude or even good leadership skills, you know. So sometimes when I'm really disappointed with people, no matter whether it's somebody that I kind of admire, you know, who is a public figure or somebody in my personal life, if I'm disappointed in them, I'm like, did you let your expectations maybe get a little out of check? Did you expect something that, or assume something that maybe was just an assumption? So even with my personal life, people, I do that with myself. It's like when I'm really let down, I'm like, what were your expectations of this person in this situation? And I'm gonna sit here and be honest, a lot of times, yeah, there I have to manage those. So sometimes with this, you're right, they should know better. Those things shouldn't be happening. Somebody should have stepped in. Things should have happened. But at the end of the day, yeah.
So what that brings me to is accountability. And so with these people that we support, who holds them accountable? Like, I get that again. I get it. I get the because even Coach Staley was saying how, you know, sometimes in these sports it gets competitive and your emotions can get the best of you. I get that, but I also just think that they all knew what was at stake and they all knew that the other team was going to try to get them off of their game. Why did y'all let it work?
I'm going to go out on a ledge here with this. And kind of say that for some people in these type of situations, and I don't know if you know people like that, it's almost better for them to go down in flames than to let somebody pump them, or to look like they're being bested, or to look weak, or to not look like they're going to handle their business, that like they're not going to stand on business. And I have met people who, like, you could list all the consequences and they will still to your face say, I don't give a god darn about anything that you just said. I'm not going to let anybody
Disrespect me.
disrespect me. I know you've heard that before.
Yeah, I have. I have. And you know, a lot of people have lost their lives, whether it be to death or prison, over the construct of respect.
Very true. Very
And
true.
that shows up a lot in our community. I don't know about other people, but I know for Black folks, we're big on respect.
No. And some, I get it. The logical part of me gets it.
Me
But
too.
then there's like, if I don't really know somebody, like, why do I just expect them? I mean, the expectation, yes, there's pleasantries and manners and things like that. Yes, I expect, you know, like basic manners. But to always have somebody just respect me if they don't, like, why does, if I don't know you, like at the end of the day, yes, I might be off put that you don't say or do certain things a certain way. But if we don't have any kind of real relationship, why does it matter at the end of the day? Like, if you respect me or not. I mean, yes, I expect basic manners, you know, but at the end of the day, even with that, like if I don't know you, like,
Yeah. But I think a lot of times, you know, when I hear people get so upset and passionate about being disrespected, it's usually not somebody they don't know. Usually it's somebody that's very close to them, you know, or at least has some access to them. Yeah.
I guess that's true, but I sometimes I hear it's just like somebody disrespected me, and it's not all, I mean, it's just not completely random, but also somebody that's kind of inconsequential overall. It's like it doesn't really matter one way or another. So I think like kind of looking at why do you feel like it matters how everybody perceives you. Yes, it matters how people treat you. Yes, it does matter. I'm not saying it doesn't. But honestly, if you look at the flip side of that, if you're always worried about how everybody thinks and feels about you, you're always going to probably be upset. Like, you're always going to be triggered. 'Cause, yeah.
I don't know. I really hated that, and I don't want to. I'm not ready to turn my back on Miss Reese. But girl, get it together, okay? You got millions of dollars, I guess. Yeah, you got these NIL deals. You got millions of followers, and you know, you're young. I don't. I don't, and I don't have a dog in the fight. She don't care about me. I'm nobody to her, but I just think, you know, she has a lot of potential to just be great. And I think that she could let her attitude ruin what could be for her in the future. And I just think that if I were her big sister or her mama, I would try my best to let her know that.
I think that's what, you know, I talk about the Hot Mess Express all the time, and I feel like it might be one of those things where, you know, I'm not saying she's on it because, again, I don't know her either. I know of her through, you know, her being having this public platform, but some people just have to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
They have to ride the ride, and they have to like walk their journey and see where it takes them. And I think too often with what you're seeing with behavior, if there's no real current consequences, there's not a lot of motivation to be or do anything different. So I think that's a big part of, you know, her, this is her journey and let's see where it takes her.
Yeah. And some of it is a part of her brand, I think, maybe that.
I agree. I
Yeah.
agree.
So who's on the Hot Mess Express this week?
Who is on the Hot Mess Express this week? Well, I've seen a couple of things, and I think the one that really sticks out for me is, have you heard, I don't really know about this person, no, now I just see them, but that lady, I think she was a basketball wife, Drea, whatever, the
Oh
39 year
God,
old, and
yes.
she's had, she's
With
pregnant
the
with,
22-year-old. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go out on a ledge and say I think this is a Hot Mess Express ride. I could be wrong, I don't know, but I see this and I wonder, especially learning that she has a son the same age as this as her baby Zaddy. It seems like she might have gotten her ticket aboard the Hot Mess
oh.
Express.
Girl,
So
I ain't know that part. I don't think I knew her
yeah,
son was the same age.
he is.
Oh, yeah, she's on the ride.
I just, and then, I mean, they're possibly in love and whatnot, and but you've got a son. Imagine, like, even if you have, didn't, and you have a daughter, just like, I mean, imagine this, and what's the long game for something like this, and for her, that young man, I forget his name. Do you remember his name?
Is it Trey Young? I don't want to lie. What's her? Let me look it up real quick.
Okay.
I don't think it's Trey Young. Let me see. Drea, baby daddy. Oh, Jalen Green.
Okay.
Jalen
Okay.
Green.
Sometimes, like you talked about Angel Reese, you're wondering where are your people? Does somebody, pull on the side and say, hey, but again, like with the Hot Mess Express, people got to ride the ride, right? They've got to ride the ride
Yeah.
because within that ride, you learn things and you learn things that maybe you didn't know. And I think everybody's just going to have to ride the ride. But sometimes I hate to watch it, especially, even for her, because kind of seeing some of her background and what she's her dating history, it's like I see that person needing something.
Yeah.
May I, everything from money to love to relevancy. I see that person needing something and doing these things to maybe get their needs met when there's so many other, ways
Ways.
that, yeah.
You know, I think this is also her type of lifestyle, I'll say, is glamorized and condoned, and it's kind of like a part of some women's mood, like we're decentering men and we're doing all these things, and it's kind of like, oh, the men for all these decades have been so shitty, we should just start treating them the way that they treat us and discard them and that, devalue them. And basically get what you can get, 'cause well, that's how they do us, you know.
This is maddening for me, and I almost it's don't like to talk about it, but I feel it's like those type of mindsets keep our community kind of in this pattern. In this pattern is where we're, we struggle to connect with each other. And yeah.
Do you think it's the programming? Do you think that some of this is by design? I've heard people say that often with the black man being removed from the home. We could go all the way back to slavery, but if you think about back when, when Clinton was in office and the war on drugs and what was all that about? So you remove the black man, and so now I think black women have we're more educated, more money in some cases. But now you got the sexy reds of the world. I know we had that talk. You know how I feel about her, but the music, and don't get me wrong, I like some ratchet shit now. I
I
love
do too.
me some Cardi B. I like Meg. I have my picks and chooses with this. So I'm not completely like crapping on it, but I am saying we need to be careful with what we're supporting. And yeah, what do you think about that?
I think, I believe there is some truth in like the socialization in the program. I do believe that there are some there, but I also, because I like to look at both sides of things, know that we always have choices. Yes, we might have seen things in the program from things, but in 2024, we have choices that we can make, and we don't have to continue to perpetuate certain things. And especially, when we know that some of the things we're perpetuating is a one-way ticket to the Hot Mess Express. Like, yes, I believe that there are things, there's a generational trauma, there's socialization, there's programming. Yes, all of that is there. But we also have choices. And it's like we're in a habit loop. I feel like we're in a habit loop. I talk about that a lot here too. How can we disrupt it? And I think even with the situation with Drea and Jalen, I think maybe what's wrong with even dating without bringing like the babies? And you know what I'm saying? It's like, why do, and I know why. I'm not dumb. People, listeners out there, I know the bag. Yes,
The
everybody's trying to
money.
get to the bag. I'm aware. But why do we, I mean, there's so many choices that we have, but I know that we're stuck in a habit loop. And I think awareness of like the patterns that we're in, yes, being aware of the programming, but also being aware of how to disrupt patterns, I think is appropriate too for people who are frequent passengers on Hot Mess Express. And from what I can gather from some social media research is that Drea, at least, I don't know, this young man barely has had time to have that much of a digital footprint. Well, no, maybe because he's a Gen Z, so he probably has a lifetime of a digital footprint. But she has definitely a track record of, being a regular passenger on this ride. And sometimes when I see people like that, I'm wondering, you do EMDR, like, where's the trauma? Where
There's a
is,
trauma.
yeah, what's
Yeah.
happened here? And because there are many other choices she could be making, but she makes a lot of similar ones over and over.
Right.
So yeah, those are my Hot Mess Express passengers from this week. And it's really been unfolding. And I didn't know a lot about her, but
Yeah.
with this happening, this coming out, her announcement over the past week, I didn't realize that she was a frequent passenger.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It's for the bag, and I do think she has been a frequent passenger because even she must have. Does she have more than two? Because there was another. She got somebody else. Her first baby's daddy or whoever that was also, I think, a basketball player.
Yeah,
I don't know. I.
they're all like everybody I think she's had a baby by is like a rapper, an athlete or something like that. So, I just
But where are his people too? Like
I
we're
that's
talking about,
what I said. Where are his
oh
people?
yeah, like okay, yeah, all of that. It's just
I
okay.
wonder, like, maybe for somebody that age, maybe being with somebody like her is a flex. I don't know. And I know for a lot of people like that, having babies are like little, I don't know.
Well, Nick Cannon, I guess maybe we're going to have a bunch of that around here now. That's cool.
We're in a pattern. And I think this pattern makes all of us can put all of us on this ride. When are we going to get off, people? When are we going to get off? Because yes, there are things that play against us in Western culture, in our society, but we can do some things different.
We
So
can do better.
when are we going to get off, people? So that's what I have for the Hot Mess Express today.
Right.
So yeah, if you guys listening have anybody that you think is a frequent passenger on the Hot Mess Express that you have not acknowledged or know about, let us know. Comment on our Instagram. Let us know who you think is writing. All right. Well, everybody, since we have talked about the Hot Mess Express, that's going to be my reflection for this week. We have a whole segment about this particular reflection today. Why? Because the Hot Mess Express is familiar to us all, even if we don't like to admit it. We often don't even realize that we're getting a ticket on this ride, or even how much of a mess the ride actually is when we're getting that ticket, until it pulls up at its destination. And the Hot Mess Express only has one destination, which is Trouble Junction, and when the shit hits the fan station. However, this ride is often necessary for each of us to get to the place of full awareness. We often have no idea what we need or how to get it without this eye-opening journey. Fight as we may, it's possible that we will all take a ride on the Hot Mess Express at some point or other. Hopefully, when you arrive at your destination, you will be ready to begin a new journey of growth, understanding, and possibly even change.
I love that. So you think the Hot Mess Express is basically essential at a, for most people to find themselves fully?
I think so, because what the Hot Mess Express does is it takes us and puts us in a discomfort place. And I think discomfort is what is the catalyst for change. Think about all the times that you made a change about whatever it was. It usually came out of some kind of necessity or need, and the Hot
Absolutely.
Mess Express definitely is. Will get you to that place very quickly. And even in working with people, even when we're talking about positive, proactive ways to be, I have watched people set aside everything they learned and just wait for shit to just get bad enough. And then they do something. So I've come to learn the value of this ride personally and therapeutically. So.
Absolutely. I've certainly been on it. And so, yeah, speaking of discomfort, today my therapeutic moment is about recovering from betrayal. And so, in the shadows of betrayal, where trust feels like fragile glass, there exists a strength within you waiting to be discovered. It's okay to feel the sting, the disappointment, and the ache. Recovery is a journey, not a race. As you navigate the path of healing, remember that your heart, though wounded, possesses an incredible capacity to mend. Allow time to be your ally and self-compassion to be your guide. In the aftermath of betrayal, rediscover the contours of your identity. You are not defined by the actions of others, but by the grace with which you rise. Embrace the lessons learned, for they are stepping stones towards a wiser, more empowered version of yourself. Healing is not a linear process. It's a dance of progress and setbacks. Honor your emotions, but don't let them shackle you to the past. As you mend, consider forgiveness is not a gift to the betrayer, but as a liberation for your spirit. Look to the future with hopeful eyes. For within the ruins of trust, you have the power to rebuild. Your strength is your own, your resilience a testament of to your spirit. In recovering from betrayal, you unveiled the masterpiece of your own endurance, painting a canvas, of renewal and self-discovery. May your heart find solace, your spirit find peace, and your journey toward recovery be adorned with the blossoms of newfound strength.
I love that reflection because you hit on something that's so essential for healing, and that's forgiveness, and the fact that forgiveness is for you. And I think that's important to remember whenever you're dealing with big things like betrayal.
And that can be hard, you know. It sounds easy and it sounds simple enough until you're the one on the other side of the betrayal. And so it is absolutely a process. And I love that it talks about time being your ally and self-compassion your guide, because there's that's what it takes. It, you know, and in doing therapy with clients, a lot of times they don't understand initially the process. It's, you know, often that the expectation is, I'm going to come talk to you a few times and you're going to tell me how to fix me. And it's like, no, you actually have to go through the process of feeling and dealing and processing what's happened in your past, what's happening now, how it's affecting you. It's not just a, oh, I'm gonna go and do 25 jumping jacks and I'll feel better tomorrow. Like,
I love that you said that. I like to say here, beware the fix. That's one of my favorite things to say to people, because that really resonated with me when you said people come in, they're like, okay, you're gonna meet a few times, tell me what to do. I won't see you again till the next crisis. No. This is the word process. I keep hearing that in your reflection, and I think that is something to really remember about any mental health journey, or really a lot of different journeys. You have to have patience with the process, and there is no fix. And like my one of my another one of my favorite sayings is, I have lots of them. It's like, if I had the fix, I would be rich and famous and not sitting here with you doing this. So
Absolutely.
right now, let's put that out there. But I love that you said that. And I think I remind people of that all the time. Time, self-compassion, forgiveness of self, others, all of those things are good messages for whatever healing journey you're on. So thank you for that reflection today. That was a good one.
You're welcome. I think you, my last little point on that you mentioned, which wasn't specifically said in the reflection, but forgiveness of self too. You know, you talked earlier about having expectations. And I know that I have had to forgive myself for having expectations that I didn't play the tape all the way out for, and that I certainly didn't communicate to whoever it was that I had the expectations for. And so, you know, finding myself on the Hot Mess Express and trying to get off is like, okay, sister girl, like, what's your part in this?
Oh my gosh, what a great way to wrap this episode up, because I think, doesn't it always come to that? And a lot of when you have ridden on the Hot Mess Express, if you really gonna get off, you really have to ask yourself that thing, that right there. What is my part in this? And I think you can't really get off until you can do that part. So, wow, what a great way to end this one. That was a good one right there. I like that
Very
a
good.
lot. I like that. All right, Miss Adrian, thank you for this episode. Until next time, friend.
Until next time, we'll see y'all.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sweet Tea and Therapy with AMP.
We hope you enjoy diving into the behind-the-scenes world of therapy and everything in between with us.
Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and join us next time for more candid conversations and a fresh brew of tea.
Until then, take care, be kind to yourselves, and keep sipping on that
sweet tea.